Once again, here on Robin Hood Radio, it's our monthly visit with Amy Bethge, who is the health director of the Housatonic Valley Health District of Connecticut. And she joins us each month to go over some of the details that are in her newsletter that comes out each month and talk about things that are important to the health of our communities. Welcome, Beth. How are you today?
Hey, Mike, good morning. Thank you for having me on.
It's always a pleasure. Well, we start off at the top. We're actually in the second week of June, so we're a little behind ourselves. But last week was CPR and AED Awareness Week. So maybe you can tell us a bit about CPR and AED and define those acronyms.
For sure. So we really want people to focus on CPR and AED awareness for the whole month of June. And the reason for that is CPR and AED awareness are so critical to making sure that we're able to respond quickly when there's an emergency and we're able to respond appropriately when there's an emergency. So when someone goes into cardiac arrest, and unfortunately, this is not an uncommon occurrence, every second really does matter. Making sure that we're immediately able to begin CPR, and if there's an AED in the area, and I'll define that in a moment. If we're able to use both of those, the skill of CPR and the tool of an AED together, we can even double or triple a person's chance of survival. So those are some significant statistics. And really, there's a lot of life-saving principles that are involved with using the skill and of CPR and the tool of AED. So what CPR is, and I think this is probably a term that folks are a little bit more familiar with. CPR is a way to help keep blood and oxygen moving throughout the body when a person's heart stops beating. What an AED is a machine that can help restart the heart during an emergency, such as a cardiac arrest. People may be familiar with seeing these AED boxes in a number of different public places. Typically, in a hotel will have them. Any public school will have them. Any meeting place, like typically town halls, big places where people gather, will typically have this AED tool. And they are meant for use by the public. I think a lot of times we see them on the wall. It can look kind of scary, and we're encouraged maybe to wait for an EMS individual to arrive. But what we want everyone to be aware of is this AED is actually a tool for the public, and we want to make sure that everyone knows how to use it so that they can incorporate it into their life-saving procedure. And again, just to reiterate how important and how frequent, unfortunately, cardiac arrests can be. Every year in the United States, more than 350,000 people experience an EMS assessed out of hospital. So remember, this is happening, when people are in public with their family members a lot of times, which, can be very upsetting, cardiac arrest. And this number, this 350,000 that I mentioned, also includes over 23,000 children, 20% of whom are infants. So we really encourage parents. We encourage, anyone who is a family member, typically those with comorbid conditions, or really anyone who we're concerned about, our older adults maybe having a cardiac event. It is very critical that we all know how to do CPR and we're all aware of how to use an AED.
You offer courses now and then. You can go to the website, by the way, folks, at hvhdct.gov. You recently had a couple of CPR training sessions. What do you have these on a regular basis?
We do. So my nursing staff here is really fantastic about running these CPR and AED courses. We have some resources on our website as well. So unfortunately, if there's not an upcoming event, you can always, go look at our website and find out some additional information regarding how to do CPR. Or if you're a leader of an organization or a staff member of an organization and you feel that your group would benefit from having one of our staff come and train your group on CPR or using AED, please reach out to us and we're absolutely happy to offer that training to you and your team.
That's great to know because you're so right. Emergency situations, people sometimes panic too, and that's kind of a hard thing. And when you're seeing this, you need to try and remain calm so you can help that person because the time there counts. And even though our first responders in so many cases are quick as they can be to get there, a minute or two can be all the difference. So if you have training, and you're ready, you can help out in the situation and save a life. So I advise everyone go out there and get some training in these things. You have days that you can do. Just make arrangements through one of your health districts. Housatonic Valley Health District is one of a number here in Connecticut, so each area has its own, and it would be worthwhile to go out there and check out a training class just so you can be ready. Coming off of this, the next thing we see on your wonderful monthly newsletter is summer readiness. And you talk about conducting samplings of public beaches. Tell us a bit about the public beach and the water situation.
So we do. So all of the town beaches and public water bathing water areas in our district are tested once a week for indicator bacteria. So up in our Sharon area, we test the Sharontown Beach on a weekly basis. And what we're looking for with that indicator bacteria is something. It's called indicator bacteria because it gives us a hint that there may be some type of E. coli or other nasty bacteria in that water that we do not want people to be swimming in. So sometimes this can occur because of release of sewage, oil, or other type of chemicals, or anything that is really contaminating this bathing water area. Another thing we look for is toxic algae blooms that may pose unacceptable risk to public health. So in instances where any of these issues may be present, so either the indicator bacteria, a pollution event, or toxic algae bloom, what we do is then we reach out to leadership for the town of Sharon or for any of our other towns in Connecticut, and we recommend that they close the bathing area for a period of time. After we're recommending that closure occurs, we resample to make sure that, the bacteria levels are where they should be, the pollution event has been rectified, or the toxic algae bloom has subsided. And at that point, we would recommend reopening the lake or this Sharontown Beach for reference in Sharon.
And I imagine this is happening in all the towns. And also, just as a reminder, we reach out into both Massachusetts and New York. Again, everyone has health districts and setups, so these are the people you talk to. And I think most communities anymore do these samplings of the public water because you just don't know what's going to happen out there. And especially if you have boats coming in and out, all kinds of things can come in and out on an unclean boat, because a lot of people, unfortunately, don't necessarily clean their boats as well as they should. Now, another section we're coming up on, stay tuned, updated during an emergency. You're talking about the spring weather and the storms and all. Tell folks about the systems out there they can be part of to get alerts ahead of time when a nasty storm or event is coming their way.
So this time of year, we recommend staying really attuned to what the weather looks like. We know this is prime time for thunderstorms, and we want to make sure that people are careful with regard to lightning or any types of weather systems that are moving into the area. What we recommend is reaching out to the providers that are in your area, whether that be Spectrum, whether that be Frontier, whether that be Aquarian or Connecticut Water or any other water system, and making sure that you're on their email and their call lists. What that will do is if there is a disruption, if there's a boil water advisory, if there's any type of weather event that's coming through your area, DEEP actually has a really nice website where you can go to sign up for air quality alerts as well. So if there's unfortunately some bad air quality that's moving through the area, for example, the Canadian wildfires can sometimes have an impact on air quality. You will be in the know regarding any of these public health concerns. So staying informed is truly the best way to be able to make a decision. So making sure you're connected with all of the utility providers in your area will allow you to be informed regarding anything that might be going on in terms of, negative weather events or utility disruptions.
Yeah, and that's so important because we all carry around our devices with us, so there's really no reason you shouldn't be informed. And there's a lot of places in New York and Massachusetts as well, for those that are listening there. Your own states have places where you can connect your own communities. It really pays to have an emergency system or two set up in your phone, So that you're aware of something coming up. Because with weather events, too, and when we get tornadoes, tornadoes are something that's very hard to predict, and they come in fast and hard. So the alerts, the sooner you get that alert, the better chance you have of getting out of the way of a tornado, which can be a really devastating thing. Now, next on our list, we have public health updates. First one you're talking about is Mpox. Apparently, there's a little bit of Mpox starting here in the state of Connecticut. Can you give us a little education on that?
Yes, that's correct. So I would say the three topics that are really on our radar from a public health perspective right now are Mpox, Hantavirus, and Ebola. And I can speak a little bit about each. So what the Connecticut Department of Health has made us aware of recently is that the first case of clade one Mpox in Connecticut was detected. This was detected in Connecticut because of a traveler who recently came from Western Europe, where clade one Mpox is currently spreading. So this is something that, from a public health perspective, health districts, health departments are monitoring. What we want to make sure we focus on with our communication to the public is that it's good to be aware that these things are going on, but we want to also mitigate the level of concern that the public has regarding these types of issues. So what we would say is it's good to be aware that clade one Mpox has been detected in Connecticut, but right now this case does not pose a risk to the general public. So with regard to Mpox, we're saying stay informed, not alarmed. There is a potential for it to spread. It's spread in Europe, in some cases in the United States, but right now this case does not pose a risk to the general public, and we are not concerned about that spread at this time. So Hantavirus, it was a very big topic that folks were probably hearing about a few weeks ago because it was detected on a cruise ship. And there are still some things that are going on where folks are being quarantined in the United States, and I know in other countries as well. This is another topic that I would stay informed, not alarmed. The CDC and other entities that were engaged in this effort have been very good at containing Hantavirus and the spread of Hantavirus. As folks may know, it's something that's typically spread from rodents. And it's typically more it happens a little bit more frequently in rural areas. That being said, it is pretty rare. The reason why this particular instance of Hantavirus was notable was because this strain, which actually comes from rodents in Argentina, had the capacity for person-to-person spread. But again, this is something we want the public to stay informed about, not alarmed. And then the last item, sorry, I'll just mention is Ebola. So this is something that the CDC is currently monitoring. There have been outbreaks in Ebola in Africa. And because of some of the travel that will start to occur as we get a little bit closer to the FIFA World Cup that will be happening in the United States, this is something that travelers are being checked for as they're coming through airports here in the United States. So again, at this time, it's something to stay vigilant and in the know about, and we'll continue to provide updates to the public as we learn a little bit more about Ebola.
And lastly, we have one more event this month. It's National Lightning Safety Awareness Week from June 21st to 27th. What can we do to stay safe from lightning?
So the good thing is, ever since this Awareness Week has started in 2001, lightning fatalities have dropped from about 55 per year to 20. So this is good news, and this reduction in fatalities is believed to largely be due to greater awareness of lightning danger, and making sure people know that they should seek safety when thunderstorms occur. So we want to make sure we're not staying outside. We're moving into an indoor environment. I think people know that trees can often be something that draws lightning. So we want to make sure we're not seeking cover under trees and we're going indoors. The tagline is "When thunder roars, go indoors." Don't wait, and make sure we're getting to a safe place as soon as possible.
And that all basically is common sense, I think. So, well, we have been talking today with Amy Bestge, who is the health director at the Housatonic Valley Health District of Connecticut. Amy joins us each month to talk through a number of issues and things of interest in the health community. You can contact them by going to hvhdct.gov. Throughout Connecticut, there are numerous health districts, and as well in Massachusetts and New York, you all have your health districts. It's good to keep them on tab and to check their websites. Amy sends out from her organization a really wonderful newsletter each month. And then, of course, as I said, joins us here. And we appreciate all of the information you bring to us.
Of course. Thank you so much, Mike.
We will talk to you next month.
Sounds good.